All right. Welcome to another episode of Tangy Talks with our music created by Victor Feria.
I love it. I love it.
It's a good way to start these Fridays. Good energy coming into here.
There you go. Happy Friday, Steve. Happy Easter weekend.
Easter weekend. I cannot believe that the first quarter of the year is almost done. What is it? 2 days left?
It's incredible.
And March is over.
March is over onto April. Monday is April 1st, April Fool's Day. And we move on to the next quarter.
April Fool's Day always makes me a little nervous. But we had a great first quarter, man. We had some big goals we set. We hit most of them. We're still working on some of the big ones of closing the amount of properties we want to get to. But we're chugging along. We added properties this year, good ones, and we're still hunting. We're on the hunt.
There you go. There you go. I think our other goal was 12 Tangy Talks podcasts. I think we're on 10 today, so we got two more left then.
Two more to go. I think you got sick. I got sick. I don't know what happened. But we missed two. But we're episode 10. We got to 10. Like I said, if you get to 21, you're in the top 5%. Most people never make it to 21 episodes. So we're chugging along. And for you all listening, we appreciate it. We see the downloads going up across all the streaming platforms. So we appreciate you following along and listening. But yeah, look, if you're listening here, I'd love to see how you're doing in your company. You can give us thumbs up if your company is going well, or thumbs down if it's not where you want. But we're also here to help. So if you're looking to improve some way, contact us over at Tangy. We're happy to chat with you.
There you go. Yeah, it's interested to see how other companies are doing in other markets. Not only just, you know, ours here in South Florida and Naples and South Carolina. So excited to see that.
Well, man, it's a good reminder. Time flies by. Sometimes the days are long, but the weeks go by quickly. And we got some big things going on to the second quarter. I mean, for us, we don't have to share numbers, but it was our best quarter we've ever had as a company. So for us down here, most of our properties in South Florida, we have Georgia and South Carolina, but we were rocking. And it was just amazing to see like what all these events can do coming down here.
And it's incredible.
Spring break, no drama. Saw that our city manager at Miami Beach quit, but she locked it down. No murders.
Yeah. Left on a high note.
Yeah, left on a high note. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's last year's numbers compared to this year's. We see that there was an increase and there was good demand. And I know we've talked about this, especially last year, that people started traveling across the big pond, going all over to Europe and Florida and other markets here down south. Kind of saw that, but it looks like we're bouncing back.
Yeah, I mean, we did really well. I know we talked to some competitors that were a little shaky, but I mean, this is kudos to our team for managing the revenue really well, really having a plan every week, meeting every week, talking about where we're at. So it just shows like when we have those meetings and others do not, we get our fair share of the market and more. So I'm excited to see us continue to push through into the second quarter. But there are some changes that have gone on around the short-term and vacation rental world, and Airbnb has created a new policy update. And so sometimes this can be a big headache. Sometimes they make changes that are not the best or easiest to follow. But why don't you give us an update on their new policy that they did, Victor?
Yeah, just updated. I think it was a couple of days ago. I think it was 2 days ago that came in. And I was very, very excited to see it. I know it's a policy that has been in place already. It looks like they're changing the name of it from extenuating circumstance policy to more of like a disruptive event policy. So that's interesting how they're, using the wording kind of just to change kind of like the viewpoint of what guests and hosts think about that.
What is the policy? Why don't you tell us, what does it really focus on for the listeners?
Yeah, so it covers basically, foreseeable weather events. Basically also it does like any, any global issues, any pandemics. We had, I'm sure you remember during COVID, this policy was, very much questioned by hosts, because when COVID kind of hit, came in, a lot of reservations, I remember one day to the next, most of our reservations were basically canceled. And I know this, talking amongst our peers and other management companies, this happened to them as well. And the extenuating circumstance policy kind of grew out or grew from there, because a lot of hosts were upset because, you know, they had their cancellation policy set. And from 1 minute to the next, you know, all of the reservations were canceled. Guests were refunded in full, and hosts, you know, were kind of left scratching their heads, trying to figure out what, you know, what occurred and what transpired. So I know a lot of hosts that were upset. And I think that's where kind of Airbnb started losing that trust, you know, I think with hosts, and now they're revamping, right? A revamping, kind of picking up the loose ends. And hopefully it's something good for the guests and also something for the host as well. But I don't see anything there really kind of mentioning or siding with the host, right?
Yeah, I see it very good for the traveler.
Right.
Right. Because again, this is for, you know, if hurricanes are coming or if a tornado is warnings are in place or, you know, fires are going on in California. Yeah. These are things that you can cancel for now if you're planning on traveling. And I think during the pandemic, it was kind of tough because homes were actually safer places to be, but then people just didn't want to travel or they couldn't travel, and you were left hanging with your mortgage or the rent, depending on the model you have for your vacation rental that you still had to cover. So the good news for us, and we've always encouraged this now to our partners, is to have a flexible cancellation policy, because we've seen and we've heard from the team at Airbnb that if you have that flexible cancellation policy, you actually get more views on your property. You have more opportunities for bookings. Yes, you do have some opportunities for cancellations, but we track that. So, you know, part of our weekly meeting that Victor and I have, we have a scorecard that we go through, and there's a lot of different stats. And one of them is new reservations made and cancellations in that week. And so we see it very clear because we track it every single week that we get way more reservations than we do cancellations. There are more cancellations than we used to get because we are flexible, but we get way more reservations. Yeah. And so
upside,
I think I'm okay with this because I think that traveler who might be scared of coming, we might get filled, but you know, no one wants to come down here during a hurricane warning, you know, we don't really want people in the homes during that time because we have to worry about them, like how they're going to be and how they're going to do. So look, these are major global things. It's always good to have the rules. Airbnb put it out there to really tell the guests, like, don't be afraid to book. That's what I see this like, more confidence. Like, don't be afraid to book those things during hurricane season in South Florida, book those things during fire season in California. You know, we'll take care of you if something bad happens. So that's where I like it as a host. So you see, like, what's the positive? They're just putting out trust factors. Like, we got your back. If something happens, go travel. Don't slow down. Don't wait to the last minute.
Exactly.
That's what I think actually happened, but
that's good. I like that point of view. It makes sense. It makes sense as a guest, right? To be able to have that trust, like you mentioned, that trust factor, and say, hey, you know, if I make this reservation, it won't hurt, you know, come down the line if something happens and we have to cancel. So I'm interested in seeing, you know, I'm sure this probably will unravel a little bit more and they'll probably add more details and rules, especially since they just announced this. And now it's like, you know, kind of teaching everyone and showing everyone what this new policy brings. So excited to see.
Yeah, look, I people hate on Airbnb, and we've talked about this sometimes, is I like them. I think they're the leader in the class. They make things easier for us, sometimes a little harder, but they've gotten better and better. I think as the years go, they're listening to the hosts that host multiple properties. They understand that there's a balance between the professional hosts and the side hustle hosts, that everyone has a say in how they travel and what they do. So I like seeing what they're up to now. But we move on to the next topic we've got here. This is a kind of a big headline, and you know, we never like talking bad about companies, but it's a public company and it's public knowledge that Sonder, if you don't know Sonder, they are a short-term rental / vacation rental company that really exploded. And in their model, it was the lease arbitrage model that you might see on TikTok and Instagram or YouTube of people becoming millionaires overnight by renting out homes and then leasing them out. Don't believe those, please. Don't get yourself in trouble, because this is a clear example of what can happen when you do that. Sonder raised hundreds of millions of dollars and is now in huge financial trouble. And the competitors that are more like us, that are management companies that have a fee in place, which is what Marriott does and the Hiltons and the Hyatts, they are asset light companies,
right,
are picking off their struggling leases because now they can't make payments and the landlords are getting very frustrated. And these companies like Casa Living and Placemaker and Avant Stay and some others are coming in. We're trying to as well on some of these properties come in and take them over because, you know, we have a model that works. We understand how to make money, and this lease model can get you in big trouble. And so before, Victor, I get you, I want to make sure that you all understand is when you're leasing these places out, you have to make that monthly payment no matter how well you're doing or how well the market is doing. So if you don't book that place out, you still owe the money to that landlord. And I've seen some small-time people, like friends and family, well, not family, but some friends and friends of friends that are leasing apartments and not covering the payments. Right? Yeah. So this is just, it shows you. I mean, what do you think, Vic?
Yeah, it's a strategy. It's a strategy to, you know, basically you grow your company rapidly, right? You know, it's like we've seen these companies take off using this model immediately. And we can see when things are going really well, the demand is high, competition is just right. They're killing it. You know, they're making tons and tons of money. But think about it. If you have 100, 200 properties and now, you know, every two, 3 months, you're maybe $500, you know, dollars under the amount of break even. Now 500 times 200 properties, that's a lot of money that you're going to be losing in 1 month. And that can, you know, if that's kind of a trend that's going on month by month, it's going to hurt, you know, these companies, especially their cash flow. So that's what we're seeing and what we talk about, you know, being very strategic with master leasing, because yes, it can work in certain, you know, locations, certain properties. But then at the same time, you know, it can hurt you on the back end as well. So being very smart and strategic, and you know, emphasizing and seeing if the profit sharing model is a better option for that property versus a master leasing model. So it's interesting to see, right? It's interesting to see. And we hear it a lot and we see it a lot.
Yeah. And it just keeps kind of going on. So I just would love people to see there's a whole bunch of companies that thought they wouldn't be the next one. And I don't wish anything bad on Sonder because I know how hard it is to run a company and there's people's jobs on the line here. So I hope they can get themselves out of it. But you've had Domio, The Guild, Front Desk this year, Stay Alfred, all these companies that raised Lyric that was backed by Airbnb themselves, right? Millions and millions of dollars and couldn't make it this way. So please, lease arbitrage, be very careful. Now, if you want to think of something, be very surgical, like Victor was saying. If you know that neighborhood, you walk those streets, you know that building, like there's a couple blocks we have our eyes on that we know will do very well in South Florida, and we would be willing to do that.
Right.
But the other thing that we've been offering is kind of like this hybrid model where we'll give you a little base guarantee and, you know, a revenue share. So, you know, there's ways to cut this up in different ways. And if you have more questions about it, we're happy to chat with you if you're looking to get started somehow. We always talk to people that are starting up.
And we, you know, kind of on that topic, Steve, we emphasize a lot on these, you know, management companies and these companies that are going into these models. But, you know, I'm thinking also about the landowner, right? You know, sign these 12-year, probably even more, 24-month leases. And then, you know, those leases are being cut short because the management companies can't pay the overhead. Yes. So, you know, you feel for them because also they lose, you know, the trust in the short-term rental market. I'm glad to see that a lot of them, you know, still trust in it and go with other companies and learn themselves, you know, what it entails. Because, yeah, you knock on an owner's door and you offer him 12-month lease guaranteed every month, they're going to take it, you know, and they don't have to deal with anything else. 100%. It's a no-brainer for the landowner. So, you know, they need also kind of get strategic and understand how this works and also make the right decision for their property. So they're not in a bad position, right?
Yep. And one of the three companies I mentioned out of Casa Living, Placemaker, and Avant Stay, I know for sure, I won't say which one because I'm not supposed to, but we'll just spread it out over those three, is not making money. They have never made money, positive cash flow, and all of their years of operation. And they're just surviving off of that money they've raised, and they're trying to change into the model that we have, where you stay profitable, right? So just be careful. Like you said, I think it's good for the landlords to hear. Like if a deal is too good to be true, it probably is. Like when you're hearing, oh, I'm going to manage your place for 5 and 10%, it's just almost impossible. Like you can't run a company on those, and they're just trying to grow and grow to get more properties into their portfolio, and then they leave you on the leash. So
it's tough.
just understand that when you're looking at these things, it can be very dangerous as a landowner getting into that game, especially if you don't know. And if you see just a flashy website and a bunch of cities that they're in, because we lost out to one of these when we were trying to get into this apartment and community association. They went with a much larger company, and that larger company now is struggling. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that leaves them. So I think if you really want to team up with people, look for the people who've been doing it for a while, that are profitable, that aren't haven't raised hundreds of millions.
So no.
Take a look at that. All those things are some part of the homework I would encourage you all to look at.
Yeah, I love this topic. I love this topic. I mean, we've seen, in Miami Beach here in our area, we've seen these like large buildings, you know, 40, 50 units and up going into this model with master leasing model. And now, you know, they're going to struggle and they're going to sit vacant for some time. It's either they have very limited options, right? You know, turning it into what, a boutique hotel, maybe using or going into the split profit sharing model. So their hands are kind of tied too. So I'm thinking about those too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to play out, because they're going to run out of money, Sonder, which I hate to say, like they unless they change something quick. And so there's a lot of buildings they have here in South Florida too that are in good spots. So I'm making calls. Well, you're making calls. So listen, if you need some help, we're ready to go, and we are not losing money every single month. Some of our competition. But enough hate on them. We'll shine some light on us. What I would like to say too, this is not one of our topics, but I started noticing this, you and I, condo hotels are popping up everywhere across South Florida. And right. I would tell investors getting into condo hotels, know all the fees beforehand, because the realtors are starting to like push things that aren't exactly true. So we talked to somebody in a new building, they didn't realize that to be part of the hotel association or the hotel program, you had to pay 50% of your nightly revenue, right? So 50% of the money you bring in goes to the hotel if you have your unit in that. So a lot of people don't know that. Understand those things, because you're running your numbers on something that you think you're going to get, and you don't know all of those. Yeah, we've had a couple of those now.
Yeah, 100%. And you feel terrible for, you know, these owners that invested a lot of money into these condo hotels. They're realizing that, you know, they're not able to break even, and there's just so much expenses. Not only just the percentage of these hotels that are charging, but all the other fees, you know, kind of like what you talked about. You know, we were sent a spreadsheet where we saw like banquet fees. We saw like gym and sauna fees and things of that nature. And it was just incredible to see that, you know, it's really hard for an owner to survive with those fees. And then I hate even more the conversation where the owner reaches out to us and we tell them like, hey, you know, these condo hotels, they set really strong and strict regulations for outside management companies to come in. And it makes it really difficult for us, you know, to be able to come in. So we have like a strict, you know, minimum where we come into a building and set up operations if there is a certain amount of units, because there is a lot of, you know, money and expenses involved in setting up operations in a condo hotel. And then when these, you know, hotel associations now tag on a deposit, you know, $15,000, $20,000 deposit for these outside management companies to come in, our team has to wear a uniform with their name tags that we have to, you know, purchase. It's really expensive. It's really expensive for an outside management, and we've had to turn these down. And you just feel for the owner, right?
Yeah, the building and the developer is usually going to win, right? It's like the casino. Yeah. The house always wins. So just be smart about what you're getting into. There's a lot of great buildings out there. There are. But just make sure you're in a premier place, because if you're not, it's going to be really hard to compete, because there's so many of these going up. Now I start seeing them going up in other cities across the country. Like we're like the ground zero for these, but now they're starting to go up in other places. So
test them out here.
Keep your eyes open out there, everybody. And keeping your eyes open, that's a good transition. I'm getting good at these transitions. is there is a lot of bad actors out there that are running short-term rentals in residential neighborhoods, which most of the time isn't legal. And then on top of that, they're not running it well, and it turns into this party house that causes drama for the people who actually live there. And You know, unfortunately, we just saw this in Fort Lauderdale this week where there's a shooting at one of these homes, and it's in the middle of like a neighborhood that is considered a nice neighborhood.
Right.
And now the residents are going all out to stop short-term rentals, and they've got, you know, they've banded together and they're getting this place fined and hopefully getting shut down. But this is how laws change very quickly, is because we have bad actors. And this is why you and I agree on this. Like, here are the rules. Follow the rules that are in place and make sure to be a good person in the community.
Yeah.
What do you think about what you're seeing out there?
Yeah, I love that, Steve. It's sad to see, right? I mean, in certain areas and in these residential great areas that, you know, this is kind of taking place. That's why the vetting process is so important. You know, I understand that a lot of times, you know, these guests may not be 100% truthful into what their, you know, what their plans or their reasons for coming. But setting up, your camera, setting up a lot of things beforehand, before the guests arrive, to secure yourself and make sure that you're being a responsible neighbor. It's sad to see you go on Google and you type in, you know, Airbnb situations like shootings or things like that nature. And a lot of them pop up, not only here, you know, this situation that happened here, but all over the country. So it's interesting to see. And before we jumped on the podcast, I was asking you about, you know, like hotels and what hotels, you know, usually do with these situations, because they, you know, sometimes run into these problems as well. So I don't know if you could kind of delve into that.
Yeah. I mean, look, for listeners that don't know us, if this is your first time, Victor and I both worked in hotels for a long time, and I was an executive at some of them, some of the big ones. And hotels, look, there's sets of rules that are all in place. And the good news is everything's on site. So you have your security there. You have checkpoints to kind of like see like front desk, like, hey, this guy's acting a little weird. I see a lot of people coming and going from the elevator. Like, we can do things to like lock down that room, like actually lock down the room so they can't get in until they come to the front desk and talk to the manager. And I've been that person as acting hotel manager, where I've had to kick people out of the hotel that are bad actors. Right. Be threatened, like, I'm waiting for you on the streets, right? But then I'm friends with the police, right? So I know the police chief and I know these people, and say, hey, here's what's happening. They say, all right, we got it under control. So that's where hotels do a good job, is because the better hotels, I won't say all, right, hotels, better hotels, right, know how to lock that down and shut it down,
yeah,
quickly. So then in the vacation rental world, it's up to us. It's like, exactly, what are your checkpoints? Do you have a camera at the front door? Do you make sure that you're getting the real identification from people? Are they signing, yeah, documents that hold them accountable? Do you have a sound sensor that Airbnb now allows to see how loud it's getting in the place? Right. So and you can learn a lot of things. You can learn a lot, right? And unfortunately, this home doesn't look like they were doing any of the best practices.
Yeah. And, you know, to all those points, you can learn a lot from hotels, right? You can kind of take, you know, I know you can't have a physical security at the property, but, you know, can that security be, you know, security cameras? Can that be a noise monitoring sensor? You know, I know we don't have a front desk. They're not checking into anywhere, but I see a lot of the times during the communication period, you know, during the inquiry period, when the guests are trying to book, that there's a lot of tall tale signs. So, you know, we tell our team to look out for these, you know.
Yeah. What are the red flags? What are some of red flags? Because you see them all the time.
Right away, you know, a couple that I could think about is like how they're communicating. Are they being short with their answers? You know, right away when they say, hey, I'm coming for vacation, and we ask them to elaborate, we ask them to, you know, give us their plans, their, you know, the reasons for coming, and they're just being short, or that maybe sometimes they don't want to sign your agreement. We have a ton of guests that don't want to sign our agreement for, you know, XYZ reasons. And these are just like tall tale signs of, you know, a guest that's probably not coming in with the right intention. So red flag those right away. We have, we've instructed our team, when they see something like that, to raise concern to the management team. So then we can, you know, make a decision ultimately. And we're looking at, you know, the guest communication, we're looking at guest past reviews. If their profile has been verified. And the even better part is that, let's say they do confirm and you're still, you know, have that gut feeling, and we have these gut feelings all the time, you can speak to Airbnb, you could contact Airbnb and just let them know, like, hey, look, XYZ reasons of why I don't feel comfortable hosting this guest. We think that they, you know, can cause a nuisance. And they'll, most of the times, will be able to cancel a reservation and remove any penalties. So, you know, think of that and know that you have support.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. And some people are like, well, hotels never make me do that. So yes, they do. You just don't know. When you actually book that room, you're agreeing to all the things that are going on at that hotel. Right. It's all in the fine print. And some hotels are still making you sign things when you get there, right? When you give your credit card deposit, like they have all their checkpoints, but they make it seem nice and easy.
Right.
And so we go through all of these checkpoints in our homes and our properties to make sure that we protect these properties, because look, we want to protect the property owner plus our business too, right? We can't have places get destroyed or have bad things happen. And we strongly suggest things to owners. If you have a pool, make sure you have alarms on the door. If you don't want to install a pool fence, we don't want any drowning. So we've had some friends that have had that at their vacation rental company. You know, we don't want party homes. Like we learned that very early on. I remember at Villa Valentino when I got a call at 3 a.m. because some rap video was being shot. There's Ferraris firing off engines at that time, right? So it's all these things we learned, and having to show up at these places through pain, we learned the best practices. So
yeah, trial and error. But you know, advantage for listeners, they have somebody, you know, like us sharing these stories where they can learn and take all that trial and error and just, you know, do it the right way. But it's awesome, you know, kind of going back to the beginning of this topic of how hotels and short-term rentals can learn from each other, right? You know, short-term rentals can learn processes and systems from hotels. And hotels, you sent me a video yesterday that I was super excited to see, that hotels are learning now the ways from short-term rentals. So it's like a very cool mix and hybrid that's going on.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited to see with technology that's coming out, you can do things that are still very high-end in hotels.
Right.
Actually, I haven't really shared this too much, but I want to write an article about it soon. Is I'm getting excited about motels, because I think motels done the right way could be really awesome again. Like I see some of them down here in Miami doing it well. I still think they could do better, like some of the really good ones.
Right.
And some of the things that we've learned of how to keep costs down with labor by being able to do multiple things with technology, I think will be very helpful. I show you that video's there. Our boy Will Slickers and his team has just got their first hotel that they're working with now. So the worlds are starting to mesh just like we predicted many years ago, Victor, sitting in our old offices when we worked together. So
it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. But I've never been a strong believer in motels, but now we're seeing, you know, some hotels, to name at least one that I've visited, a Vagabond Motel, that they've done pretty cool things in that property. And it's made me a believer. I see now where motels can really, you know, go into another light and start bringing in that experience and that luxury touch, right?
Yep. If you got a motel and you're listening, give us a call, or you can message us at tangymgmt.com. We're happy to chat with you, because I really think there's something that we could do there. I know we can, just with the stuff that we're already doing with multifamily and single family homes, to really make a difference. But man, time flying by here. There are so many fun experiences going on in Miami and South Florida. And if you haven't checked out our guest-facing website, which is staywithtangy.com, we have a new feature where you can see all of the events and experiences going on. And you can book directly through us some of these things, from Miami Heat games to the fair that's going on, to F1 race that's coming up, to all these amazing events. You can book directly through our website and get to experience the hottest place on the planet right now, which I love being able to say when you look around the globe. We've got so many fun events these 2 months.
It's been a great, great first quarter. There's been a lot of successful events, and I'm excited for the city. I just actually read an article this morning of Neymar saying that he wants to play in the U.S. So right away they put him in a Inter Miami jersey next to Messi. can dream.
He was with David Beckham last night at Gecko on Brickell. So they were hanging out. And it's a fun post I saw this morning. So listen, a quick story about Neymar, just between you and I and whoever's listening right now. For my 40th birthday, I was at the Fontainebleau for my 40th birthday.
Okay.
And my friends were no longer there. Armando Campos is now over at the Montage as the hotel manager. Set me up in a cabana for my birthday. You know, it was awesome. It was right there, the first cabana, having a great time. And who comes strolling up is Neymar. And Neymar says, this is my cabana. And I was like, they put me here. And so the manager came over and said, no, we have you in another cabana today, and escorted Neymar. So for that day, I was a bigger star than Neymar.
Man, you were about to throw down with Neymar. You're about to get into it.
My boy, LA, man.
Have it's a drink. Cool. You can hang out here. You can hang out here if you want.
We can hang out here. So that's my Neymar story.
There you go.
Anyhow, if you stay with Tangy, who knows? We might run into some of the celebrities down here. But thank you for joining us this week. And as always, we love sharing all of our information and short-term vacation rental and boutique hotel stories with you. Thank you for listening. We love seeing the subscribers growing up. And until next week, we will see you then. I don't have the picture.